Let me pray. Loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us in Scripture. And as we read it, please help us to know Jesus better and follow him more closely. Amen. Just thinking things through, what do you think Christianity looks like? What do Christians look like? If you go out in the world and ask people, it kind of depends who you ask what kind of answer you get. This might be some terrible stereotypes, but I sort of figure if you go to the home counties in the south of England, you might get the answer that Christians are sort of a Rowan Atkinson type figure, posh, dim, bit ridiculous. Maybe if you ask someone who watches an awful lot of films, they have the picture of, you know, the smartly dressed American with the southern drawl, y'all. A Bible in one hand and a gun in the other. If you go to our neighbours on the continent, I get the impression they think Christians are sort of strict, severe people who love Renaissance art and rosary beads. These are silly. But what about us? What do we think Christianity looks like? If you were asked to write a pen portrait of a Christian, what would you include? Faith? Jesus? I hope so. Being saved from sins? Being free? Being joyful? Being in relationship with God? Being part of a church family? What does authentic Christianity look like? Maybe faithful? Loving? Repentant? Honoring of God? Obedient to God? Well, in our Bible passage this morning, we meet Bartimaeus. And in Mark's account of Jesus' life, Bartimaeus is the true follower. He is the authentic Christian. And he ties up a lot of the themes, the golden threads that have been running all throughout Mark's gospel. And those various cords of truth are woven together in one person, the example of authentic faith. And the first thing I want us to see in this passage is an obvious one, but it's that Bartimaeus recognizes Jesus. Verse 46 says, "They then came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging." Now, the town of Jericho, it's the last town before you end up in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the city of the king. David's throne was at Jerusalem. And Jesus and the disciples have been on their way there for a little while. You saw back in chapter 10, 32. They've been heading to Jerusalem. That's where the narrative of Mark, where the story of Jesus' life is heading, to Jerusalem. And what does Bartimaeus call out when he sees Jesus coming? Verse 47. "When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" So here you've got Jesus, the promised son of David, the anointed king, the one who is going to come and lead God's people. And he's coming in to the city of David's throne. And I hope it's obvious to all of us that blind as he may be, Bartimaeus can see what all Christians can see, what every disciple can see, who Jesus is, to recognize him. Back in chapter 8, verse 29, just at the start of this sermon series, when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the chosen king." Jesus is more than just a teacher, a rabbi. He's more than someone to teach us how to live a good life. He is more than a good man to emulate. He is more than a symbol, a talisman for like-minded people. He is more than a story to teach us about sacrificial love, because Jesus is the king coming into the kingdom to rule his people forever. Bartimaeus recognizes it, and so must every Christian. But the next thing I want us to notice about Bartimaeus is that his faith is persistent. Verse 48, "Many rebuked him and told him, 'Be quiet.' But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' He's persistent. Way back in chapter 2 of Mark's Gospel, you meet a man who was lame. You'll know the story. His friends brought him to see Jesus, but they couldn't get to Jesus because the crowd was so big. So what did they do? They climbed upon the roof. They tore a hole in the roof, and then they lowered the man down. And Jesus looked at those friends, at their persistence, and he said, that is what faith is. In chapter 7, when Jesus met the Syrophoenician woman, she had a daughter who was possessed. And she came to ask for healing. And initially, Jesus rebuffed her. He said, no, I can't give the children's food to the dogs. But she persisted. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs under the master's table. And both of those people stand in contrast to the rich man. The rich man that we looked at 2 weeks ago in chapter 10, who turned away at the first hurdle. He turned away because he was wealthy. And he was sad because he didn't want to give it up. But Bartimaeus persists. He will not be put off. And it is easy to be put off in life. It is easy to be turned away from things in this world when they go wrong. When sickness comes or loss or pressure from work or family. But Bartimaeus, he might have listened to those things that got in the way. Those people. Shut up, Bartimaeus. Stop banging on about Jesus.
Son of David.
Why are you always the problem, Bartimaeus? He doesn't listen, he persists. An authentic Christianity will always persist. It will persist in the same way that my children persist when they're hungry. The sniggers from around the room of those who've raised children. I'm hungry. Nice to meet you, hungry. It never stops, does it? They will keep coming. What time's tea? What are we having for tea? What are we having for pudding? Can I have a snack? It will not end until they have what they need. And that brings us to the next thing I want us to see about Bartimaeus and authentic Christianity, is it comes dependent. He comes dependent on Jesus in the same way that children come dependent for food. We're supposed to see that as the crowd rebuke Bartimaeus, that it's a repeat of something else that's happened when those people were bringing little children to see Jesus, to ask for the blessing. And the disciples turned them away. They rebuked them. They said, no, your children are not important enough to come to Jesus. They're not to bother him. What did Jesus say then? He said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You can see there that what Jesus is saying is that authentic Christianity is dependent. And we see here, as the crowd rebuke Bartimaeus, they tell him to be quiet. They tell him, Bartimaeus, shut up, you're not important enough. Stop bothering the man. That he comes in total dependence. Does he come because he thinks he's got a right because of his status? No. Is it because he's powerful? No. Great influence? Wealth? Long list of abilities? The service he'll offer? All the good things he'll do for Jesus? To bring a crowd with him? No, none of these things. That's not what Bartimaeus comes on the basis of. Is it because he's a good person? Because he has a sparkling personality? Is it the kindness of his heart or his love for others? No. Does he come to Jesus because he deserves to be helped? Because he's been given a raw deal in life and Jesus needs to rectify it? No. His request is really simple, and it's repeated twice in just 7 verses, so you can't miss it. Son of David, have mercy on me. Just as little children come with nothing but needs to their parents, so Bartimaeus comes to Jesus with empty hands and great need. And this is the approach of authentic Christianity. Not to come to Jesus with our good deeds, with our acts of service, with our grand sacrifices. We come to Jesus as beggars. with empty hands and unbearable needs, asking for mercy. Because we are all sinful. We have not lived as we know we ought. We know that. We say that in our confession every week. We're not owed anything from God. We're not owed eternal life. We're not owed a heavenly home. There's nothing we can do to earn it, and there's nothing we can do to obtain it for ourselves. All we can do is echo the words of Bartimaeus and ask Jesus to have mercy on us. But when we cry out for mercy, what we get from Jesus is we receive a call to come to him. And that's the wonderful thing that we see with this man, with Bartimaeus. He receives Jesus' call. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called out to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus calls him to himself. The pattern of all Christianity. Do you know there's a great call in this section of Mark's gospel? All the way through, we have three times Jesus has predicted his death on a cross to pay for sins, to give mercy to his people. You can see one of them just on the page there, at verse 33. He said, "We are going to Jerusalem." That's where he's going now. He said, "And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." This is the call of Jesus. The Jesus who is going to Jerusalem, who is going to the cross. And the call is to put our trust in his death to pay for those sins. We might not be crying out from the streets around Jericho. We might not be sat in the dirt of Judea with incredible need. But Jesus calls to us all the same. He calls to us in his word, in scripture, in passages like what we're reading. He calls to us through the lips of his followers, who call others to come and follow him. We are called to trust in his death at that cross to pay the price for us. To trust that death, not our good deeds, not our church attendance, not our charity, not well-meaning intentions. If you have never heard this call before, please hear it now. Jesus doesn't want you because of the good things you can do. He wants to give you mercy, and he wants to do it for you. If you have heard that before, and I guess most of us have because we're Christians, there's still more that Bartimaeus can teach us about what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Because the follower of Jesus counts no costs, verse 50. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And I don't want to make a big thing about this because I don't think it's the hugest thing in the world. But Mark here, he's summarizing everything that he's been teaching. Everything that he's recorded over the last three chapters in one man's life. And in those chapters, we've seen a rich man who went away sad because he loved his wealth too much to give it up and follow. And we've seen disciples willingly give up everything to follow Jesus. They did seem to want blessing for it, but there's no detail in the Bible that's irrelevant. And I think when we see Bartimaeus throw aside this cloak, I don't imagine that he had much else in the world. He's begging on the streets. He's blind. And I think we're supposed to see the contrast to the rich man, who couldn't give up any of the wealth he had. And we see Bartimaeus, who counts no cost at all in coming to Jesus. And there is a cost in following him. We saw that a few weeks ago, didn't we, in chapter 8, verse 34. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Authentic Christianity means dying to the things of this world and placing Jesus as number one. Not our pride, not our reputation, not our wealth, not our security, not our health, not even our family before him. And in all honesty, I do not know. I pray I know, but I do not know what will happen if I'm ever tested on that. I thank God that he hasn't asked me to choose. But we're given a picture that as the beggar throws his cloak aside and jumps to his feet, he is making the right response in following Jesus, in not counting the cost. Another part of the right response is that he makes the right request of Jesus. Bartimaeus epitomizes what it is. See, Jesus has asked Bartimaeus a question, verse 51. He says, what do you want me to do for you? He asked the exact same question to James and John in last week's passage. There, verse 36, he said, what do you want me to do for you, he asked. And they replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory. What do you want me to do for you, James and John? Glory. We want glory. We want the best seats in the house. But Bartimaeus, what do you want? Verse 51 again. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Now, do you see how different those requests are? James and John, their request is so human, but Bartimaeus, his request is extraordinary. James and John, it's like they think about what is possible. What is possible for a human being to have. And they think about the best thing a human can have and aim for the top. I think the modern equivalent of James and John's request is, dear God, please can I win the lottery? Because they're thinking in terms of what is humanly possible. And they're asking for the best of that. Jesus says to them, what do you want? The creator of the universe, what do you want? And they say, we want the best seats in the house, please, and lots of glory. They do it in a sort of manipulative way, trying to get him to agree before. But Bartimaeus is different. Bartimaeus could have asked for the things that are possible. He could have asked, when Jesus said, what do you want? He could have said money. He could have said food. He could have said a home. He could have said a family, a position of respect. But he didn't. Bartimaeus asked for the impossible. He asked what no man could give him. He asked for a miracle. He asked without guile, without manipulation, for an undeserved miracle. And it reveals a different kind of faith, an authentic Christian faith. The disciples will get there, they're just not there yet. But Bartimaeus has the faith to trust Jesus to do the impossible. When we are praying, when you are praying, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Do you think of all the things that you think are possible and limit your prayers to that? What does that say about who you think Jesus is? Are we asking for merely human things? Or are we asking for miracles? Are we asking for eternal life in his name? Are we asking on the basis of mercy? The final thing I want us to see about Bartimaeus and about authentic Christianity is that it saves. Verse 52, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received sight and followed Jesus along the road. He's healed. And the word here for healed here is the same word saved. You can just as easily read it, your faith has saved you. Who saved him? I mean, obviously Jesus, right? What does it say, though? Who did the saving? Your faith has saved you. How's that? Faith is the medium of salvation. It is what connects us to our Saviour. It is what connects us to Jesus. It's the means by which his salvation is applied to us. People think faith is believing something. That's not quite accurate. Faith is believing something strongly enough to trust it. Like when you're sick, you take medication, right? To make you better. It's the pill that you swallow that does the work. But it's only going to have any effect on you if you trust it enough to swallow it. The same with Jesus. Jesus does the saving, but it applies to us through faith. To put our trust in him. Authentic Christianity saves because it trusts Jesus. Bartimaeus is Mark's portrait, a pen portrait of authentic Christianity that recognizes Jesus for who he really is, the King, that is persistent in coming to him and following him, that is dependent upon him, that receives a call from him, that counts no cost in coming to him, that makes the right requests of him, and that ultimately saves them. Bartimaeus is a real man who really was blind and really was miraculously healed. In our church family, you will see many people, I see many people who follow the Lord Jesus in the same way that Bartimaeus does. With this same faith. And we can read Bartimaeus' story and see this perfect example of the follower of Jesus, this example of authentic faith, and we can think, oh, I just don't measure up to that. And we can beat ourselves up, and we can look around church and we see others and we can beat ourselves up about it. But that's not what Bartimaeus is here to do. There's a sense that is so almost lost in the English language, that when Bartimaeus receives his sight, it says, and he followed Jesus along the road. He began following Jesus along the road. It's the start of something. It's the start of a journey, following the Lord Jesus. And that, ultimately, is what true Christianity is. That was what authentic faith is. It's beginning over and over again to follow the Lord Jesus. Bartimaeus, a real man, really blind and really healed, but he's also a symbol of spiritual blindness. And the thing that cures spiritual blindness is an encounter with Jesus who changes everything. Because when we recognize him for who he is, and when we hear his call, and when we come to him in dependence, asking for mercy and for forgiveness, that faith and that trust will save us. And we will follow him along the road. We will follow him along the road to the cross. And at the cross, we will find the mercy that we need, that Bartimaeus needs, that everyone needs. Let me pray. Loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us here in Scripture, here in this story of Bartimaeus. Lord, please help us to be loving children who recognize your Son for who he is, our King, who are persistent in coming to him, in following him, who are dependent on him, relying on him and not ourselves, who receive the call from him to be saved, who count no cost in coming to him, who make right requests of him. and who are saved by faith in him. Amen.